Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, broadcasting live here from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side for Mad Radio, 92.7 FM, WMDX, 1580 AM and around the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can join the show, share a tangent with us on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. I've got Aaron on the board filling in for Evan as he is had a little scheduled absence today. So Aaron, appreciate you filling in. We're doing a little musical production chairs around here these days.
Yeah, a little bit. Switching around. You covering for me last weekend, now me covering for Evan now. Now we just got to get one of us to cover for you. I don't know. We'll see.
It's all good. In due time, that will be needed. 844-967-2789 if you want to share a tangent. And you, out last Friday, Aaron, doing a little bit of the turkey hunting. I hear it was a successful hunting trip.
Yeah, on Friday, didn't really see anything, but we went out again on Saturday. And by 8 a.m., I got a Jake.
There you go. Wow, so an early Jake there.
Yeah, at first, earlier in the day, we had a turkey come up behind me to the right, and I'm right-handed and right-eye dominant, so that's the worst spot.
Yeah, because so, yeah, it's your blind spot right there.
Yeah, it's the only spot you can't turn to.
Yeah.
And we thought it was going to happen again, my dad and I, and then, nope, they changed direction and came out in front.
There you go. Well, nice job. Congratulations on the successful hunt. Appreciate you filling in for E in his absence. And we're going to be joined by a familiar face for the both of us, Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, going to be joining the show at 2:30. Going to talk Wisconsin tourism and some more Wisconsin headlines. Until then, though, we've got a couple of updates. There's a decision in a Dane County Circuit Court case of updating the fraudulent electors that we're going to get to next. But my question to kick off the day is, are we ready for 2024? Are we ready for the elections that are going to take place in 2024? 844-967-2789, your thoughts. And I don't necessarily mean just if it is a rematch between now President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. That's not really the aspect of 2024 I'm curious about. Interesting headline over the weekend that caught my eye and catching up with the headlines this morning over at the Associated Press. This piece written up by David Kepler and Ali Swenson, with the headline, AI presents political peril. Love, 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 love the alliteration. For 2024, with threat to mislead voters. So, again, talking about artificial intelligence presenting this threat for 2024. Now, if it's a Trump-Biden rematch, we've seen that election unfold before. That's not necessarily what I'm the most worried about. I don't necessarily believe that there is going to be a violent insurrection with somebody trying to overturn the results of the presidential election in the U.S. Capitol when the Electoral College vote is to be certified come January of 2025. That doesn't necessarily concern me. I am concerned about state legislatures before that point trying to usurp the will of their voters and change the outcome of the fraudulent electors. Very similar to how U.S. Senator Ron Johnson encouraged the state legislature here in Wisconsin back in 2020 and leading up to January 6, 2021 to just, you know, rule on their own decision. They could come up with it on their own, according to reports of what U.S. Senator Ron Johnson told state lawmakers here in Wisconsin. That's concerning. But what's very concerning is leading up to the election in 2024, the increased prevalence of artificial intelligence and what it could mean for the public narrative, for campaigns specifically, and for information that voters are just trying to receive, whether or not it's real or manufactured by artificial intelligence. So this piece really caught my eye. Again, over at the AP, David Klepper and Ali Swenson, they go on to say, the implications for the 2024 campaigns and elections are as large as they are troubling. Generative AI can not only rapidly produce target campaign emails, text, or videos, it can also be used to mislead voters, impersonate candidates, and undermine elections on a scale and speed not yet seen. We're not prepared for this, warned AJ Nash, Vice President of Intelligence at the cybersecurity firm ZeroFox. To me, the big leap forward is the audio and video capabilities that have emerged. When you can do that on a large scale and distribute it on social platforms, well, it's going to have a major impact. AI experts can quickly rattle off a number of alarming scenarios in which generative AI is used to create synthetic media for the purposes of confusing voters, slandering a candidate, or even inciting violence. We didn't need AI prevalent in the political machine to lead up to the political violence that unfolded at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Imagine what that could be like with AI now juicing individuals. The people that before Congress, before the House Select Committee on January 6th that claimed they were there because former President Donald Trump told them to be there. They were fighting for him. Now imagine the scale of what those lies could be if juiced with AI. Continuing on from the piece, here are a few automated robocall messages in a candidate's voice instructing voters to cast ballots on the wrong date. Audio recordings of a candidate supposedly confessing to a crime or expressing racist views. Video footage showing someone giving a speech or interview they never gave. Fake images designed to look like local news reports falsely claiming a candidate dropped out of the race. Aaron, can you believe what the impact of any of those scenarios could actually have on not only just the U.S. presidential election, but elections up and down the ballot come 2024?
This is a huge deal. Just like, imagine even on a local level, if you are in school, in high school or college or whatever, and you get a voicemail from your teacher that's like, hey, sorry, we don't have class today. And then the whole class doesn't show up.
Yeah.
And it's
that's removing the politics from it. That's just a real world application that could be used as a high school prank. Think about if using AI, artificial intelligence now, and these programs exist, you cloned Trump's voice or Biden's voice and had either of them just say, oh, upon further consideration, I'm not going to run. And they create a video with it. They do a whole unveiling of it. And they put that out. It is incredible to believe the amount of technology that AI can now do. Like the amount of video, voice, call, all of these things that can be generated through AI that are not real, it's fake, can sound and replicate these deep fakes. And we have no monitoring over it. Imagine all of the disinformation that happened on social media platforms, all the way up to news, cable broadcast network news stations that were airing misinformation in the 2016 election. We know that it happened. Many, many reports now showing that there was intervention in the 2016 election. Imagine if all of that misinformation was then cranked out at a speed hundreds, if not thousands of times faster, and then propagated through those algorithms on social media platforms. These artificial intelligence experts say that we are not ready for it, and I tend to agree with them. Want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. You can call or text, share a tangent with us all hour long. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. You can also share a tangent with us on Twitter at Dueling Tangents, where you can follow the show here in the 2 o'clock hour and beyond. And Aaron, it is just, we've already seen it in the 2024 cycle. The moment that President Biden announced his campaign for re-election, for 2024, the Republican National Committee, RNC, unveiled a complete campaign video that was manufactured through artificial intelligence. And that was their response to the Biden re-election, the re-election bid. And so it's already in this campaign. You can't say that this is coming. It's here.
Yeah, and a lot of them, if someone were to use it to put out these fraudulent messages, it can be debunked, but it does usually take an expert in the field. And by that time, it's too late for a lot of people who hear it. They're like, oh, he dropped out. Okay, I guess I'm done.
Well, it would be debunked. But yes, the amount of different things that would already happen. Say it's not actually a dropout, because that one is a real thing. We would see the name still be on the ballot. The candidate would be able to come out, clear the air around dropping out. But having robocalls in the early voting period or on election day telling you to go to this location to vote when really your voting location is somewhere else, or dropping off a ballot here that's not actually acceptable and it was supposed to go there. Those are all things, these robocalls through artificial intelligence, that could happen now. We have experts telling us that we're not ready. And then we've got a proposal to invest millions of dollars into our elections infrastructure here in Wisconsin. It was removed from the budget proposal that Democratic Governor Tony Evers put forth earlier this year. 2 weeks ago, Republican lawmakers who claimed following 2020 to be all for election security stripped those provisions out of the budget in their one sole vote that removed more than 500 different proposals out of that budget. So we are actively not investing in our election infrastructure, and we're taking our eye off of what is going to be a huge problem when it comes to information surrounding elections here in Wisconsin and abroad. And the artificial intelligence experts are telling us that we're not ready for what AI is going to bring to the next election cycle that, folks, unfortunately, we're currently already in. We got an update for accountability, possible accountability in the past election, 2020 cycle, here in Dane County Court. We're going to talk about that coming up next, and I'm going to be joined by Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News at 2:30. You can share a tangent between now and then, 844-967-2789. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. You can stay up to date with what we're doing here at Civic Media by following the network on our social media channels. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and so many more. Just search Civic Media wherever you are online, and you can follow the network and keep up with our growing, expanding radio stations around the state of Wisconsin. If you want to share a tangent with us here on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. That is the number to call or text. And outside of the problematic areas that artificial intelligence are going to create for campaigns in 2024 and beyond, it's also important to have accountability in past schemes to undermine elections, specifically here in Wisconsin. When it comes to a scheme, this was a nationwide scheme, took place in several states, six or seven states, I believe, of putting forth a fraudulent slate of electors. Last week, we got an update out of Dane County Court when a judge here ruled that a complaint before the Wisconsin Elections Commission could be renewed without one of the 10 fraudulent electors for Wisconsin overseeing that complaint. Back in 2021, the complaint was dismissed, but then one of the Wisconsin Elections Commissioners, Robert Spindell, was on the commission, and one of the 10 participating members in the fraudulent elector scheme got to vote whether or not the commission was going to take up the sanctions against the fraudulent electors. last week that Dane County judge ruled the review, the complaint needs to be reviewed again, but this time without Spindell on the board. It will be interesting to see. There are two new members who did not vote in that complaint the first time it came before the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So it will be interesting to see what happens there. But now, also making news today, the Dane County, same Dane County judge, is going to allow for the lawsuit against fake Trump electors to proceed without breaking up the case to the individual counties where the electors reside. This breaking over at the AP, written up by Scott Bauer. Wisconsin judge allows for lawsuit against fake Trump electors to proceed. A Wisconsin judge on Monday refused to break up a lawsuit filed against 10 fake electors for former President Donald Trump and two of his attorneys, saying the case could proceed in the county where it was filed. The lawsuit seeks $2.4 million from the fake electors and their attorneys, alleging they were part of a conspiracy by Trump and his allies to overturn his loss in the 2020 presidential race. It also seeks to disqualify the Republicans from ever serving as electors again. Fake electors met in Wisconsin and other battleground states where Trump was defeated in 2020, attempting to cast ballots for the former president, even though he lost. Republicans who participated in Wisconsin said they were trying to preserve Trump's legal standing in case courts overturned his defeat. Aaron, is that an okay excuse for committing crimes? Is it okay to just say, well, we're preserving all avenues and that's why we needed to commit this fraud?
In short, no.
Well, we're going to find out. I don't know, in short, if it's no. We're going to find out if there's accountability. There's going to be a reviewed look by the WEC to see if these fraudulent members need to be sanctioned. And now this court case is looking to hold them civilly liable. The $2.4 million in damages, this is a civil lawsuit. This is not a criminal lawsuit. It is going to be interesting to see what kind of accountability is had for these fraudulent electors in now what? We're almost two and a half years beyond the time that this fraudulent elector plot was hatched. November and December of 2020. And it will be interesting to see if this case, now that it's going to be still consolidated and not broken up to the different counties, how it proceeds in Dane County Court. Continuing on with the Bauer piece over at the AP, 9 of the 10 fake electors in Wisconsin and one of Trump's attorneys argued that the lawsuit against them was wrongly filed in Dane County Circuit Court. Since none of them live in that county, they argued the lawsuit should have been refiled against each of them in their respective home counties. It's interesting when a criminal conspiracy uses the legal argument, well, you have to charge us each individually in our home counties. You can't actually charge us in the county where the crime was committed. So Judge Frank Remington of Dane County dismissing that complaint to break up the lawsuit. It will be heard here in Dane County Court. And your tangents will be heard here on Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. Up first this afternoon, we got Jack from Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Well, it is, in my opinion, absolutely obscene that we have to take these people to civil court and we have to diddle around with the Wisconsin Elections Commission dealing with these fraudulent electors. These are guys that attempted to commit election fraud, and they are, there's no question, there's perfect evidence they signed a document unlawfully claiming to be the illegal electors. This is attempted election fraud. And they can say, well, you know, we didn't actually participate in it. We just signed the document. It's like a guy walking into the bank, drawing a gun, saying this is a hold up, and saying, oops, no, I'm sorry, turning around and backing you, going back out. He's still guilty of attempted robbery. These guys are guilty. And why the heck Josh Call or the attorney, district attorney in Dane County, perhaps, why the heck aren't they pursuing criminal charges against these guys? I'm getting tired of this. This is, you know, everything, you know, Trump's found guilty in a civil suit, big deal. These guys, you know, if they have to pay a little bit of money, big deal. These guys need to spend some time in prison for what they've done. This is Well, I'd call it treason, except there's no foreign power involved. It's sedition by the definition of that word.
Yes, it is. It does feel very seditious, Jack, and we appreciate your phone call. It's going to be interesting. I know the Department of Justice, both here in Wisconsin and in the U.S., doesn't comment on ongoing investigations. So I'm hoping that there is some form of accountability, both criminally and civilly, going to occur. We're going to be joined by Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, coming up, but we'll still take your tangents. 844-967-2789.
The ceiling. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
I've been a Reno. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. And you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, and you can download the Civic Media app. Take us with you wherever you go. Go over to the Google Play Store, Apple App Store. Type in Civic Media. It's free to download. You can jump from station to station. You can hear all the excellent programming here in Madison on WMDX, but you can also listen to terrific stations all around the state of Wisconsin, including several that are up north with our friend who's up in those neck of the woods, Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, hosts Up North News with Pat Kreitlow every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. Pat, how are we doing on this Monday afternoon?
I'm sorry, Luke. Pat can't be with you. I'm an AI version of Pat. Happy to answer your questions in Pat's voice.
Are you scared that, see, you put out 2 hours of content every single day, And that could be used to replicate a Pat Kreitlow AI voice.
Here's my problem with that. And it will sound a little elitist or whatever you want to call it. but by my training as a journalist, I've learned not to trust anybody, not to believe anything until I can check it out for myself. And so if I were to get a robocall, you know, saying, hey, you know, this is Joe Biden, I've decided I can't, I'm not going to take it based on that. I'm going to look and see if there's a second source somewhere else. I mean, how many times already have we seen a news outlet, you know, kind of fall for something, you know, it was basically a hoax. It was all for fun because they didn't go and get second source confirmation. So I'm not saying it won't cause troubles. Of course it will. I'm not as worked up about it, until my bank account is drained. Then I'm going to be a little concerned that somebody could do that.
Yeah. Okay. So you're worried about the personal implications for that bank account. I see. I'm concerned because Pat, most individuals are not tuned in like you and I in right. The middle of May of the year before an election, talking about what some of these new modern technologies, artificial intelligence, the main one here, could have on an election that's 18 months away. And but elections aren't decided by individuals that take the critical analysis of what the AI could be trying to put in front of them. Specifically here in Wisconsin, elections come down to a razor-thin margin of voters that tend to vote for both U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Democratic Governor Tony Evers, or for Scott Walker and Tammy Baldwin. It's a weird mix of voters here in Wisconsin and other swing states around the country. I'm worried about what AI could actually imply for those voters and what it would do to them.
Those folks don't have to be pushed very far anyway to believe weird stuff. One need only watch any Daily Show correspondent interviewing people at a Trump rally to know that there are people who still believe the balloon boy hoax, that there was a little boy in a bouncy house that was floating around 30,000 feet above the earth. And there are always people who won't believe anything because of balloon boy and the other hoaxes that are out there. So again, in all of those cases, all we can do, and we are, again, doing completely the right thing here, is that through Civic Media, through the radio stations, through Courier Newsroom and Up North News and its other outlets, creating these outlets so that listeners aren't just hearing whatever ding-dongs are on right-wing radio these days, and they make some assertion. And for years, people had no choice but to go, oh, well, I guess if that's what came out of my radio box, you know, that must be true. No, it's not true. And we're giving people an alternative to say, you know, just because Tom Tiffany says, you know, the borders are open, doesn't make it so. And he, you know, folks, he might actually be part of the problem rather than the solution. At least now folks up in, you know, Bull Falls Radio and Wausau and places like that, they get to hear this and then they can decide for themselves.
Yeah, and Lake Air, our friends at WLAK Lake Air in Amory, Wisconsin, Hayward, Buzz of the North, those are all signals that will be broadcasting across U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany's district. So that moves into a nice little segue, Pat, of one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about.
It's almost like I work in the business. I honest to God, all I can do is hand you these things.
There we go.
You can swing at the ball when I put it on the tee or not. It's totally up to you. Your show, pal.
T-ball is a lot of fun. And I appreciate that, Pat. One of the topics that's being discussed in political reporters right now is Tom Tiffany. That U.S. representative is floating the idea that he's going to talk to all the other interested individuals that may be getting into a Republican primary for the U.S. Senate in 2024 to go up against incumbent U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. But he had some interesting comments about it, Pat. He expressed that, primary is always a good thing, and he doesn't really want to clear the field, but he would prefer not to run against anyone else. And it's kind of an interesting way to put out that balloon, as you say, the feeler balloon of whether or not he should run in 2024.
I think the word you're looking for, mealy-mouthed, is that he can't decide. He can't decide. He's thinking out loud because, again, this is my own personal view, and I know I could be 100% wrong, but I put him in that long list of politicians who, when somebody else tells them, hey, you might be getting considered for this office, rather than right away saying, nope, I have no interest in that. I do not want to go up against Tammy Baldwin. What do? You go, yeah, I might want to do that. And then you go to a few extra events, you raise lots of extra money because people want to be in nice and early. And then at some point you go, you know, after careful consideration with my family and prayer, I have decided that I can do my best work, you know, in whatever job they're in currently. And it won't surprise me one bit if that's where Tiffany ends up. Now, I know this is going to run afoul of my good friend Joe Zepecki, who's on with us every Thursday morning. And I asked him last week about these reports that Tammy Baldwin is vulnerable, you know, despite her strengths, despite winning two terms with bipartisan support here. And he said, you know, he said the right thing in that Tammy should run as if she's extremely vulnerable and is already down by 10 points. I just, frankly, at this point in time, don't believe that at all and wouldn't be surprised if the entire, Republican field of potential candidates, each one of them looks at it and says, I'm going to take a pass. I'm going to wait till we see if Tony Evers runs for a third term 2 years later. And the only Republican who steps up will be one of the extreme goofballs. It was Leah Vukmir a few years back. It might very easily be former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark next time around. I'm not yet convinced that anything resembling an establishment Republican will challenge Tammy Baldwin. I mean, even Eric Hovde, you know, the businessman who got a write up in the Journal Sentinel today for having you know, residents out in California, you know, again, his name gets talked about a lot, but he got to be a business person by being able to look at the landscape and decide where you get a return on your investment and where you don't. And just because Tim Michaels wasn't smart enough to figure that out doesn't mean that, you know, Eric Hovde won't be.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by founding editor of Up North News and host of Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, Mr. Kreitlow himself. You can listen to Up North News Radio every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. You can tune in extra early. I do not envy the morning shift between you and Aaron. I've done it before. I did it last Friday while Mr. Zomers was out in the woods.
Yes, you did.
But
you did a fully adequate job. Don't be down on yourself. You, for that hour of the day, you did great.
But I was shaking off the rust.
Yes, but remember, we got all kinds of folks who can't get up at 6 a.m., but what do? They go to that podcast place, whichever one they like, or civicmedia.us, and they listen to us at a more human hour as a podcast, and we always appreciate that very much.
Yeah, and you can check out the podcast for Up North News Radio and all of the other excellent programming that we have here at Civic Media at the website as well, civicmedia.us. And the write-up, Pat, over at the Journal Sentinel for Eric Hovde, I thought was just very interesting because Daniel Bice, political reporter over at the Journal Sentinel, had a very just interesting open to the piece that he wrote up, and said, Wisconsin businessman Eric Hovey is looking more and more like a strong U.S. Senate candidate for California. And then details.
I think he had that written. That was pre-written, and he was trying to get everything else to kind of follow. And it does and it doesn't. You know?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both that way. But
he knew this article was coming. He knew that somebody was going to ask him because he saw all the Tim Michaels stuff from last year. And his answers, I mean, I gave him full credit this morning. Those were the exact right answers. You basically mock the question and say, yeah, I've got a place in California because I own a bank that's based in California, but I still reside in Wisconsin. So he said things that he handled it a lot better than Tim Michaels because of that experience.
Well, yeah, because I think anybody could answer those questions better than Tim Michaels did. He kind of just tried to hide away from the press when it came to his campaign for governor back in 2022. So it will be interesting to see if it is a businessman from the West Coast this year or next year, I guess, instead of a businessman from the East Coast that Republicans find. But it seems like in all accounts, people are coming to Wisconsin. Whether they claim that they live here while living somewhere else or just coming to visit, we got some tourism updates from last week from the Department of Tourism here in Wisconsin. And I was amazed, Pat, by the total of individuals traveling to Wisconsin. It seems like we're beating all of our competitors here in the Midwest. And wanted to get your thoughts on those numbers. I know you had a interview on Up North News Radio with the secretary for the Department of Tourism last week. What can you tell us about those reports being released?
Well, what we got from Secretary Ann Sayers was a reminder that even though last week was National Travel and Tourism Week, they're still crunching the numbers for 2022, but she fully expects them to be better than 2021, which those are numbers that we do have in front of us, where we had in the state a very healthy bounce back from the pandemic downturn, including about 170,000 people whose jobs are somehow tied to Wisconsin travel and tourism, and it generates $21 billion for the state economy. About $9 billion of that is outdoor recreation, fishing, camping, hiking. So we got the reaction on that from Secretary Ann Sayers. Governor Tony Evers also made it the focus of his weekend radio address. So we put the numbers in there. And what the governor said is, And he's absolutely right to take as much credit as possible for this, is when he was deciding where to put federal pandemic relief funds, he put a lot of it in areas that were going to be essential for travel and tourism, knowing what a big part of the economy it is here in Wisconsin. So there were, of course, you know, restaurants were helped, but so were other tourism venues, sports venues,
lodging,
lodging as well. And it was because of those smart investments that those parts of the economy were ready to welcome tourists again, instead of all kinds of folks going out of business. And then there wouldn't be as much marketing or destinations for tourists. So, you know, it really once again shows the focus of targeted investments as opposed to, say, one size fits all tax cuts, which is what, you know, Republicans would have done if they would have had control of the money.
Yeah. And what I think is what we got to do, if these are the numbers from 2021, as we await for the numbers from last year, 2022, we need to attract 10% of the individuals that come as visitors. If we got 10% of those to consider moving to Wisconsin and laying down roots here rather than just visiting on an occasional trip, we could actually solve the workforce crisis that we have, because Ford Analytics and several other think tanks tell us by the end of the decade, we've only got 7 years, 6.5 years to address this now. We're going to be 130,000 workers short here in the state of Wisconsin. So it makes sense if people are coming here, spending their money, taking time to travel here for their vacations, we got to entice them to move here and help Wisconsin solve its problems like a workforce shortage.
Well, the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we somehow hide from them the fact that we have a legislature that is actively working against having people come or stay in Wisconsin, because again, whether it's, you know, paid family leave or health care with, you know, Badger Care, you know, affordable housing, daycare costs, these are all things that this legislature could be addressing. But remember, they took 9 months off last year. I think maybe they were being the tourists in some other state rather than working in Wisconsin. So if we could get them off the back of a milk carton and into the Capitol, then we could do those things that you say are so essential, and they are.
Absolutely. I appreciate you joining me here on Dueling Tangents, Mr. Kreitlow. You can catch Pat every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Wake up with Up North News Radio across Civic Media. And look forward to joining you on Thursday morning as I do at the 7:50 slot.
Are you, you're coming this week? You're going to be there?
I'll be there. I haven't. The snow hasn't fallen in quite some time, sir.
It's a crapshoot now and then, but I'm glad to hear this. I'll be looking for you.
There we go. Folks, we got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your tangents. 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents. You can join us on the phone lines for this final segment of the day, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Up next this Monday afternoon, we got Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, it's just hogwash that these people are trying to get their cases moved to the counties they reside in. Like you said, they committed that crime in Dane County, along with the other fellow conspirators like Scott Fitzgerald and whoever else was involved in the whole fake electors conspiracy. I mean, not just a scheme. It was a conspiracy, nationwide conspiracy. I mean, it's as bad as Scott Jensen getting his case kicked out to Waukesha County, where Brad Schimmel reduced his charges down to a misdemeanor from a felony, so the guy wasn't forever barred from being a lobbyist. I mean,
yeah, Mark.
That
was the Wisconsin law that the fraudulent electors tried to invoke, I guess, when it came to why they were requesting their case be moved to separate counties. So 10 separate counties for the 12 individuals that were being sued. But according to Judge Remington here in Dane County, one of Trump's attorneys, James Tropas, and fake elector Scott Grabens, the former Dane County Republican Party chair, both live in Dane County. Neither of them provided any evidence of where they lived, the judge said. Neither did Trump attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, who practices law in the Boston area. And so they used the fact that several of the attorneys, or one of the attorneys and one of the fraudulent electors, do live here in Dane County, but didn't actually supply a reason why they needed their venue to change to continue to hold the case altogether here in Dane County. And this fraudulent elector lawsuit is going to be heard here by Judge Frank Remington. And so, yeah, I think it was a delay tactic. That's what a attorney with Law Forward claims in the piece over at the Associated Press. The lawsuit was filed a year ago this month by two Democratic electors and a voter. They were represented by the Madison-based Law Forward firm and the Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection at the Georgetown University Law Center. Quote, although likely not the last, this was just the latest effort to delay any type of accountability, said Scott Thompson, attorney with Law Forward. And so it was pretty clearly a delay tactic. It was an unsuccessful tactic as well. And I'm hoping to continue to keep an eye on that lawsuit as it makes its way through the courts. Appreciate your phone call, Mark. 844-967-2789. You can share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents. You can be like Mark, or you can be like Karina in Milwaukee. Karina, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon? Karina, do I have you? All right, Aaron, it looks like we're going to have to see if Karina can join us. May have muted herself or something like that, if you could check on that line. Folks, 844-967-2789. You can share a tangent with us here in the final segment of Dueling Tangents for this Monday afternoon. But it is interesting to keep an eye on all of these headlines across Wisconsin, whether it has to do with fraudulent electors or tourism updates. You can do that by tuning in to Dueling Tangents here Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m., across the Civic Media Network. One of the other headlines that I was keeping an eye on, we got some reports over at the Wisconsin Examiner, written up by Eric Gunn. And this piece headlined, New York Times report finds political network with Wisconsin ties deceive donors. So this, again, has to do with individual actors here in Wisconsin. Not through artificial intelligence, like what the experts are worried about for 2024. And I myself am worried about these deep fakes and this technology to be able to try to deceive voters. But we have proof of just bad actors here in Wisconsin trying to manipulate people. And so this piece over at the Wisconsin Examiner by Eric Gunn, three Wisconsin men are identified in a New York Times report published Sunday as organizers of a network of political nonprofit fundraising groups that raised $89 million, ostensibly for political ends, but spending very little of that on anything except to pay the fundraisers themselves and other consultants. The Times report described a series of robocall campaigns by five different but closely connected groups that raised money in small amounts from donors, quote, who were pitched on building political support for police officers, veterans, and firefighters, the Times reported. But just 1% of the money they raised was used to help candidates via donations, ads, or targeted get-out-the-vote messages, according to analysis by the Times of the group's public filings. The newspaper report published online stated that about 90% of the money raised was paid back to the fundraising contractors in what a lawyer who advises Republican campaigns described as, quote, an elaborate self-licking ice cream cone, in which money that is raised goes to pay the cost of raising more money. Again, an example of not AI using robocalls, but just actual individuals, bad actors, fundraising $89 million off of causes to support, as the report says, police officers, veterans, and firefighters, with none of those 1% of the $89 million raised actually going towards those causes, the other 99% going to the individuals doing the fundraising so they could, quote, do more fundraising. It is incredible the amount of grift that is going on in these causes. And we need to be talking about this stuff too, because yes, artificial intelligence is here. It is going to affect campaigns to come, but there have been bad actors in the system. And if you pair these bad actors with artificial intelligence, things are only going to get worse. It is going to be harder to perceive what is real and what is manufactured through AI. And I don't know what the answer is going to be, but we have to be talking about it. We have to be keeping our eye on this, because if we're not, it is going to be more and more difficult to hold bad actors accountable, because it's going to be more and more difficult to see what's actually fraud and what's a grift and what is reality. And Aaron, I don't know about you, but keeping an eye on this artificial intelligence beat is something that I feel like we're all very far behind on. And we got to figure out some solutions to it, because, again, the election is we're in it. People are already talking about candidates. We've got the horse racing that's going on for the presidential race, and we're only going to get more and more in it.
Yeah, I feel like the best way to keep up with AI is to maybe set up an AI to aggregate all the data and let us know how things are going.
Using AI to monitor AI. Look yes. at it. There we go. AI is not only the problem, it's the solution, according to Aaron. Well, Aaron, really appreciate you joining me, boarding this show. Appreciate all the callers that contributed, and Mr. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, that you can tune into every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m., where you can hear Pat and Aaron and all their magnificent guests. If you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast. Again, you can head over to civicmedia.us. Or you can find us wherever podcasts are found. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, so many. Folks, Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to y'all then.